In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most of the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel revolves around our Lord's assertion and explanation that somehow he is our actual food, the bread of life, that will bring us eternal life, and around the Jews refusing to believe such a radical claim. But if we listen carefully to the Gospel passage today, we see that the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist is not quite the center of the dispute. At this point, they are not disputing Christ's claim, "I am the bread of life." They haven't even made it that far. Now, the claim that they're disputing is much more fundamental. Our gospel opens in this way. The Jews murmured about Jesus, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" They aren't yet bothering to consider whether or not Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is able to give them his flesh to eat. They refuse to grant even the premise that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So in a certain way, it's understandable that so many there in Capernaum would not and could not believe our Lord's teaching about the Eucharist. How could they when they didn't even believe in his divinity? It's true, the Holy Eucharist must be the center of our lives as Catholics. As the Second Vatican Council taught, our participation in Holy Mass every Sunday is both the source and summit of the Christian life. At the same time, though, everything in this life, even the Most Blessed Sacrament, is a preparation for something more. Our Lord is truly present in this sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But as long as our earthly pilgrimage endures, he remains hidden from our sight. The species or appearances of bread and wine act as the veil to the Holy of Holies, as in the temple. This veil will not be removed this side of heaven, because only there will our love for Christ be perfected and we will see him as he is. If our Lord is no more than a moral guide and miracle worker, as many of those hearers of the Bread of Light, listeners to the Bread of Light discourse in the Gospel thought, then what were they or we doing? If we withhold our faith in him as God in the flesh, then our belief or lack of belief in the Holy Eucharist is rather irrelevant. In such a case, the Eucharist would be meaningless and would be preparing us for nothing. And as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied." There's an old Catholic axiom, lex orandi, lex credendi, basically translating as the rule of prayer is the rule of belief. The way that we pray reflects the way that we believe, and oftentimes the way that we pray has a major impact on the way that we believe. Do we take some time to prepare ourselves for Mass, to offer thanksgiving afterward? Do we remain attentive to worshiping God in spirit and truth? Or do we quickly rattle off words in the program and casually walk up to the altar as if we're simply receiving a piece of bread? It's here at Mass that we will have the closest encounter with God that we will have this side of heaven. But unless we acknowledge and embrace the Lordship of Jesus Christ entirely, no amount of sitting, standing, and kneeling during Mass will make our faith any stronger. Jesus Christ is the only one who can make us happy, but in order for him to do this, we must first heed the words that we heard in last week's gospel. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.